Continuing a mitzvah Resh Pei Dalet, which is the mitzvah not to eat tevel. What is tevel? Tevel is produce from which the appropriate trumas and maaseris have not been separated. So anything that is required to have tithes separated from it and that has not been performed yet could be called tevel, whether it's dough that has not had challah separated from it or the produce in Eretz Yisrael that didn't have the truma and the maaser separated from it. It's all called tevel. So the reason that there's a separate mitzvah for this is you might have thought that, okay, so there's a mitzvah to separate the gifts for the Kohanim and the Levium, but if you don't give it to them, so you didn't do the mitzvah. You know, that's no good. You didn't do the mitzvah. That's not, that the Torah is mechadish here. That's in addition to that, the produce before the gifts are given is not kosher. Now, there's a specific law to eat the produce. Otherwise, you might have just thought there was an assay to give these gifts to the appropriate recipients. Yeah.
If the patient said not kosher. I mean, yeah. Atomic helium, as it goes, the whole usually,
not kosher.
All right. No, it's non kosher.
If you cook, mix it with something.
Well, we'll talk about mixtures. We'll talk about mixtures in a few minutes.
And dishes would be.
Yeah, but dishes, yeah. If you cooked tevel on dishes.
If you cooked it. Okay.
Right, I mean, if you put anything, if you put a pork chop on a plate, that doesn't make the plate cold. It doesn't
cold
make the plate. That doesn't make the plate treif. Same thing too. If you cook tevel in a pot,
that
makes the pot treif. You have to kasher it. There are circumstances where you have to separate matanos, by the way, and it doesn't make the food treif. Which is, for example, when you shecht an animal, even chulin, you have to give presents to the kohen as well. You have to give azroa v'halachayayim v'akiva. You have to give the foreleg and the cheeks and the stomach. So these presents are supposed to be given to the Kohen. But these presents are not, first of all, they're not holy. That the same way that the miser that's given to a Levi as opposed to the Truma that's given to a Kohen, so you're obligated to give it to the Levi, but there's no holiness to the produce. The Levi, after you give it to him, wants to invite you to eat it, so that's completely fine. The same thing too. The zrav halachayim ve'akeva, these parts of the animal, you have to give it to a kohen. But if the kohen wants to invite you to partake of tongue is one of the it's with the cheeks. If he wants to invite you out over his house to enjoy the tongue that you just gave him, then that is completely permissible. Yeah.
Well, obviously these are perishable items, so there's a difference here between say grain, which obviously you can manage to get over to the lady without in good shape, and here's a tongue and before refrigeration and so forth. You know.
Yeah. You just give it to your neighbor who's a kohen. You check the animal, you give it to... There, the Gemara brings that some had amidas chasidus. It brings from Yechezkel Hanavi. Based on Yechezkel Hanavi, that he didn't eat meat unless he knew from an animal, unless he knew that the appropriate presents were given to a kohen from this animal. Okay, but that's amidas chasidus. According to the halacha, that is not at all required. It does not affect the kashrus of the meat, as opposed to tevel, which when you have to give trumas u'maaseris, that affects the kashrus of the food if the gifts have not yet been given and separated. Not given. But they've not yet been separated and the food is not yet kosher. Yeah. Omnam zech yevhu lemalkus. So when it talks about the Sefer Chinuch said that anything that has not been separated from the produce makes it tevel. So you might think, okay, understand truma. You know, truma, if you don't separate that, that's holy. It's sort of like the truma is still mixed in with all the other stuff. So if you don't separate the truma, then I understand that that's really, really bad. So the Sefer Chinuch went through the whole limud about how it doesn't even just apply to truma. Even if Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, these things, these secondary Meiseris have not been given, let alone Meiser Rishon, so it's still called Tevel. And you receive the penalty of lashes for eating it, just like any other non-kosher food midaraisa. Aval avon misa eino elo al hatevel shelo nitla mimenu truma gidola. But we said that tevel has the penalty with it of misa bidei shamayim, that God will see to it that you meet an untimely end if you eat tevel. Doesn't mean they are physically killed by the in an earthly death penalty. But that, the Misa aspect of it, even though even if any one of the proper Trumas Maisers has not yet been given, you receive the penalty of lashes, the penalty of Misa, the divine death, only occurs if the Truma has not yet been separated and does not apply to the later Maisers. V'cheinami bochal Maiser kodim shitla menu Trumas Maiser. The same thing. We know that when you give the Maiser to a Levi, So the Levi has to take another tenth of that, and a tenth of the tenth, and give it to the Kohen. The same thing, too, if you have the Meiser, and the Levi eats the Meiser without giving the Truma's Meiser to the Kohen, the same thing. So when Parsha Sekorach, when it says that Levim have to separate a tenth of their tenth to give it to the Kohen, don't desecrate the holy foods of the Jewish people and you won't die. It's the same thing too. It's a Misa Bidei Shamayim. It says and you won't die. So that means that if you eat Maisa Rishon without having separated the Trumas Maiser, so that is included. Certainly it's Tevel. You would get Malkus, that goes without saying, but you would even get Misa Bidei Shamayim. Kein Pershu Zichronam Livracha. That's the way Chazal explained. Lafika Chayavin Alav Misa, Kevosh Edizbar B'Maseches Demai. So that's why it says from the Pasuk that Lo Savusu, so you're Chayav Misa. So again, the first thing that's given is the Truma Gedola, that the person who grows the produce gives Truma to the Kohen, and the Shear, there's no Shear for that, even the tiniest bit is okay. The Chachamim said, required, that if possible, lechatchila, you give more, either a 50th or a 40th or a 50th or a 60th, depending on your circumstances. So that's given first. Then you have to give the Meiser to a Levi. Then the Levi from that has to give another tenth of that. That you give a tenth of your produce to Levi, then he gives a tenth of his what he received to a Kohen. So what's the Trumas Meiser? The Trumas Meiser is approximately 1%. Of the total produce. That's a good figure that we'll have to keep in mind later. And then you have to separate either Maaser Sheni, depending on the year, or Maaser Ani. Maaser Sheni is taken and eaten in Yerushalayim or redeemed on coins. Then you use the coins to buy food in Yerushalayim that's eaten in holiness. Or every third year, the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, instead of Maaser Sheni, you give Maaser Ani, which is given to the poor.
So what are the poor doing the other years?
They have to rely on the other tzedakah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but that's specifically Maaser Ani. But again, the Maaser Ani is also, it's kosher. It has to be separated from the produce, otherwise it's tevel. But if you took the Maaser Ani, you separate out the Maaser Ani, and then you ate it yourself, so you're not supposed to do that. You're stealing from the poor.
Right. But if you're an Ani.
Oh, then you're allowed to eat it yourself. Oh. You're allowed to separate, you have to separate it. It always has to be separated. You can't just say, oh, well, you know, I don't have to separate the Maaser Ani because I'm poor. That's not true. You have to separate it, but you're allowed to eat it afterwards. Mm-hmm. Similar to if the Kohen grows produce, so he has to separate the Truma and then he can eat the Truma himself. He can say Harizo Truma and pop it into his mouth, but he cannot eat the Tevel.
So nobody's so poor that they're not themselves chayav in the various forms of tzedakah, including like the...
Well, except...
Well, here's there's a specific shear. You have to give, every third year, you have to give a tenth of your produce to tzedakah.
And you're so poor, though, that the
you can eat it yourself. Yeah. But that's different from...
It's more than symbolic, I think. I mean, there is something real about the person. But, he still has the consciousness
of... But he's not giving it to anybody, though.
You still have to separate it.
You put it down the table, you pick it up again or something? I don't know.
Yeah, you have to separate it. I'll explain. There's a way to do it where you don't physically have to separate it.
If I were the IRS, I wouldn't allow it.
Right. Okay, but for the generalized mitzvah tzedakah, so the mitzvah tzedakah, by the way, is found in the Rambam with Maaser Ani. It's all part. It's in Zroim. It's in Sefer Zroim where it talks about the gifts. Okay. But for that, then there's a different standard, because tzedakah is basically voluntary. You have to give tzedakah. It's recommended no matter how poor you are, so you're supposed to give a little bit of tzedakah, but if you really can't afford it, so you give $1 to tzedakah a year. I mean, that's obviously very, very minimal. Most people, even people who are pretty not well off, would be expected to give more than $1 a year. I'm just giving an exaggerated example. But yeah, you're not supposed to give more tzedakah than you can afford. Fine. Nimtza miklal devarenu shehaochel tatevel kodem shenitla mimenu truma gedola uchmochen kodem shenitla menu trumas meiser hu bemisa. So the same thing too. If the let's say you separated truma gedola, but the produce that you have left is still mixed. You haven't separated the meiser yet, so obviously, I mean, not obviously, but. You normally would not have separated the Trumas Meiser yet. So that too, even though there's no Meiser, you're not the Levi, you're just the Yisrael who's growing the produce. So if the Trumas Meiser has not been separated from your produce, then you are not, then that's also Misa. Even if you separated the Truma Gedola, but you didn't separate the Miser at all. No Miser, no Miser, no Miser, no Truma's Miser. It's still a Misa as long as there are any requirement to take out some sort of Truma in this thing is Chiyuv Misa. So there is a possibility. We learned all the way back in mitzvah 72. That was a while ago, over 200 mitzvahs ago, in Parshas Mishpatim, that there is a mitzvah that you're not allowed to give the matanos in an incorrect order. You have to follow the designated order for the truma sumaisers, meaning truma gedola comes first, then you take out the miser, then you take out a tenth of that for the truma sumaiser, then you take out the miser sheni or the miser ani. That's the order you're supposed to follow. Do not change it. But, nevertheless, bidyavid, if you took out the truma sumaiser before the miser, it's good bidyavid. So you say, you take out a piece with enough for Truma Gedola and Truma Smeiser, and you say, Harizo, the top part of this should be Truma Gedola, and the bottom part of it should be Truma Smeiser, and then the rest, then you say, well, and then you take out the Meiser from the rest of the stuff, then that is good B'di'evit, yeah? But even though you haven't been mafresh the Meiser yet, yeah.
I mean, but you're taking it, but you're not separating it out from the main body of the produce, you're separating it out from a small portion of it. So that's not a
No, no. I'm saying if you do it wrong and you separate the trumas meiser first,
how could it possibly okay? You're saying that in other words, you're still thinking of it as part of originally that the big.
Yeah, you would say I'm taking out the truma gedola and I'm taking out the trumas meiser for the meiser that I will give in the future.
Although you're separating out you then subdivide. Right.
No, well, you would still have to give, for the Meiser, you'd have to give another 9 times the quantity of the Trumas Meiser that you, you wouldn't go based on, you're right. Because you give, when you give Meiser Ani and Meiser Sheni, so you give a tenth of what's left after taking out the Meiser. But you're right.
You have to do it in proper order, otherwise.
Right. Separated incorrectly, you separated Truma Gedola and Trumas Meiser at the beginning, without having separated the Meiser yet, then you have, even though you still have Malkus for eating the rest of the produce, because you still haven't separated the Meiser Rishon or the Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani, as the case may be, nevertheless, you've removed the Misa Bidei Shamayim aspect of it, because you have already separated the Truma, and you do not have to re-separate any more Truma, okay? Aval hu bechiyuv Malkus. But you do have the penalty of lashes. V'chein kol zman shehu tavul afilu le'echad mina ma'isur z'malkos, either ma'isur rishon or ma'isur sheni. Again, if you took out the ma'isur sheni before the ma'isur rishon, again, that would be not right. But even though there is one left, you took out the last one, but you missed the middle one, okay? So in any of these cases, it's malkos. And again, it has to be completely, completely separated, all the trumas of ma'isurus, to summarize, in order not to receive the penalty of malkos. But as long as the truma aspect component of it has been separated, then it receives only malkos. Otherwise, if there's any truma component mixed in, you receive misa bidei shamayim, death at the hands of heaven. Vazaroseham yelo zuchal lechol bisharecha kemosh nichtov lemata beseder re'e. Again, with this, he started explaining how you learn it out from lo zuchal lechol bisharecha. You shouldn't eat in your gates. Talking about the Meiser Sheni, and that applies that even to Tevel, if the Meiser Sheni hasn't been separated, then it is not kosher. Ushmor inyan zek, yichein timtza ha'emes, im tizke lomo divrei chachameinu, ba'alei kabbalah zichronam levracha. Okay, so we'll keep this in mind, because you learned this is what the rabbis told us, and you should remember it, and it's the truth. Okay. Mishor she'a mitzvah, ma'shigasavti l'mala somnuch b'lav, the Kohen, tomei bazhar bazharas, yud Dalit. So it's talking about how you have to respect the gifts that are given to the servants of God, because when you respect the servants of God, so it's like respecting God himself. So it's like a disrespecting the Kohen and the Levi if you just, I don't want to give them matanos, I'm eating my produce. Yeah? Okay. Midine ha-mitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah are as follows. Masham zichron levracha b'isr ha-tevel. Oh, here we're going to the taroves. That when you have tevel, She'oser tarovto b'chol shehu. The truma, when the tevil is mixed in to another thing. So yeah, just like when you mix meat into milk, or if you mix non-kosher food into kosher food. So what's the normal rule? So it's batel, right, 1 in 61, really. It has to be 60 times the heter, based on more than the
oh,
iser.
1 in 61.
In other words, 60 plus 1.
Right, it has to be 60 times the... Again, these things aren't possible.
Not 59 plus 1, not that you usually can find such very fine distinctions. There. Right. Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
How do you feel that one out
with
a note?
So with the iser tevel, it forbids a mixture, even if the tiniest amount is mixed in. Now, where do we know this rule from, that we know and love?
Chametz on
Pesach, that it's not batel at all. If chametz gets mixed into food on Pesach, even in the tiniest amount, I mean, I wrote in my Pesach reference guide, detectable amount, because we're not talking here about molecules. Yeah. Talking about if you notice, see that, you know, a crumb of something fell into, even if it's okay. A small crumb, fell into your pot. That's why it's interesting that even sometimes things for Pesach, even with the best hechsherim, they'll say may contain traces of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So may contain traces of wheat. Okay, it's mixed in before Pesach, so it's not so bad. It's batel anyway, but you have a hechsher for Pesach, lechatchila, relying on bittel. So now what it means? It means the machinery was all kashered and cleaned properly, everything's fine. It means somewhere else in this factory, they're making wheat, and some molecules may have migrated, you know,
possibly
in the
someone,
air. Right.
No, there may actually were people who were very allergic to, say, milk or something like that, you know, they've had, like, you know, Harv products, and they've gotten sick. Because,
because they weren't...
What existed, right, what managed to make...
contamination.
Yes.
But there, in theory, you even have one in 60. Mm-hmm. So that's even... I mean, again, a hechsher is not going to go ahead l'chatchila and give a hechsher to something that contains less than 1/60th milk, if it's really, and then label it par. That's not correct, because, first of all, if something's added l'chatchila as an ingredient, then it's not butthole.
It just seems like the very minute amounts, much less than 1/60th, not...
Airborne,
not,
like, yeah, okay.
Right, whatever, airborne or something like that, or that, you know, residues that they can't manage to, you know, get out, or the halakhically are gone, but maybe chemically are not.
Yeah.
You know, sure, then, you know.
Minachanami, yeah. The rest of the prohibitions in the Torah are more lenient. They're generally 1 in 60, approximately. That if you have yein nesach, is not batel at all.
Is that stringent?
Yeah. Yein nesach means real yein nesach. Not what we call nowadays tam yeinam. It means wine that was literally poured as a libation for Avodah Zarah. So we don't find that nowadays, really. And chometz b'pesach. So there's a big, so he compares it to chametz of Pesach and yes, and then the nesach, although there is actually a very big difference between them, which is that when we say that tevel is prohibits the mixture even in the slightest amount, it's only talking about a taroves min bimino. If it has the taroves of the two types of the same thing. So let's say you're making a cholent, and you have barley, and some of the barley has been properly misered, but you have one barley kernel that has not been misered, that is tevel, and it falls into the cholent, so you're not allowed, so that is called, that's a lot of barley there, so that's called, let's say it's just the barley cholent. I think, forget all the other stuff. You just have barley stewing in a pot. The one barley kernel falls into this barley cooking, your risotto type thing with barley, so then it forbids the entire mixture. But let's say you're cooking.
How would you know that was a piece
because you had up on the shelf, okay, this is your barley, which you knew you had to go ahead and take, you know, and then, oops, there's a hole in there.
There's a sack.
Oh, right. Oh, no. You didn't have it. How do you know that? Why not? Your own scenario. Well.
Scoop it out.
No, that's the point. It's not batel. So the, but if a piece of tevel, this barley, falls into chicken soup, then, and you can't find it, obviously, to take it out, so that would be batel, because that's a taroves min be'eno mino, which is, means a mixture of something with not the same type of thing. So if that's the case, so it would be batel, just 1 in 60, like any other iser.
I'm told that food that is put aside.
What do you mean?
You give it to...
Oh, you have to give it to the Kohen or the Levi.
They're not called Neiman in your village.
You hold on to it until a coin
until
comes around.
Until it goes bad, yeah. Or you find a coin.
Yeah. Uvenosnu tam betevel mivneishi suro kimo hetero ma hetero bechol shehu. That you give one tiny bit of truma gedola, and that somewhat starts to undo the process of tevel, even though there are other stuff that you still have to separate. Kimo she'amru zichrono levracha she'ein letruma shir min haTorah el afilu chita achas boteres kri gadol shel chitim. That mida oraisa, the truma gedola, the first truma has no minimum amount. We said that Chazal instituted minimum amounts, but the Truma Gedola has no, Mida Reis has no minimum amount. So you could take one grain of wheat and exempt the entire, what's the English word for this?
Quantity.
No, it's a batch. Heap. Heap, maybe?
Heap,
yeah.
Batch.
Yeah.
Of grain. Afi suro kemochein behoshu. So the same thing, too. So Chazal said that the prohibition is even the tiniest amount. So shim this arvu mat chitim shel tevel b'chama shel chulin shekulin asurin. So if one kernel of wheat gets mixed in with a lot of kernels of one kernel of tevel wheat gets mixed in with a lot of wheat that's kosher, that where the trumas and maizos are separated properly, so it's going to asur everything. So what's your solution? Your solution is you maizor the one kernel. You find your next batch of wheat that hasn't been misered, and you have it in mind when you give the other truma some miseris.
What?
Wait,
run that by me again? You do what?
Your solution is, you miser the one kernel of wheat when you have your next batch of wheat that needs to be misered, so you have in mind to include this kernel that got mixed into the other kernels.
But it's over in that other pile.
It doesn't matter.
Right. You normally, after all, you bring in a harvest, you've got piles all over the place.
Yeah.
You don't have to put them all into one contiguous, heap. In order to go ahead and take the truma, you basically say, okay.
Well, there is a din by truma lechatchila. You're supposed to do min hamukaf. That's all supposed to be together. Now, supposed to have like two different houses and have it. But b'dievet, it does work. But yeah, so this is a situation of pretty b'dievet. So that's the solution. So it's pretty easy to fix over here. That's the saving grace. It's interesting that he gives this as the only reason. Some of the other poskim give as the reason that tevel is not batal is because of the general principle. I mean, it could be different reasons, but there's a general principle called davar sheyeshlo matirin, that when something that can be made kosher is mixed into something that is would render it non-kosher, then this is the general principle applies. If it's min b'mino, then it's not batal, but if it's min b'sheino mino, then it is batal. What's another example of this? With mitzvah we'll get to in a few mitzvahs from now in this parsha. Chadash. The prohibition of chadash, grain which is grown before the first day of Pesach, second day of Pesach, is rendered permissible by the arrival of the second or third in Chutz Laaretz day of Pesach. So if you have flour that's chadash and flour that's yashan, yashan is kosher, chadash is not kosher. Well, I'm sure when we get to that mitzvah, we'll discuss the situation in Chutz Laaretz. But anyway, so yashan is kosher, chadash is not kosher. So if you have lots of pieces of grain, lots of kernels of wheat that are yashan, and one chadash kernel gets mixed in, then they're all not kosher. Why? Just wait a couple weeks until after the first day of Pesach, and you'll eat it without, you'll completely better without having to rely on this. So, but if one chadash, if you have some chadash flour per se, let's say, and it gets mixed into your chicken soup, and it's less than 1 in 60, so then it is batal.
Butthole.
It is batal. So the same principle applies to other things. So it's a shaila of whether this principle alone would be sufficient for tevel, because even though you can fix tevel, it's not something that automatically becomes kosher again, because maybe you're not going to have another, also because it's not automatic, and also maybe you're not going to have any more produce that year that needs to be misered, so then you have no choice. That's why you won't be able to fix it. So that's why there are different reasons for saying that tevel is not batal, not just the davar sheyeshlo matirin reason. Yeah.
Now, how much processing is possible before you can't consider taking a maser anymore? In other words, you have grain. Supposing I forgot to do it. Now it's ground up into flour. Oops, it's baked into bread. I mean,
There's no limit.
There's no limit. Okay.
Whenever you remember.
You can't actually eat it. That's the only right now.
Right. Yeah. There's no end point. If you bake, if you bake a bread from tevel flour, so you have to chuck it. I mean, that wouldn't be.
You can't sell it, probably.
You can't sell it, that's
right.
True, but
you...
can't
eat or sell it. In other words, you can't take it to another person.
You can't eat it, you can't sell it. There's also something called hana'a shel kilui. You're not allowed to use the tevil in a way that destroys it. So like feeding it to your animal, we discussed last time, maybe an example of that. Using it to light candles, tevil, oil, using it to light candles. So if you get benefit from the thing by destroying it, so then it's also the prohibition of tevil, even if you're not eating it per se. Okay.
So what are you supposed to do with it?
Meisor it. Uveseder zroim, uvemaseches trumes, umeisor sheni, umeisor es disboyer, ezad over chaye betrumo, umeisor es vehein tovlin haperos, the ezad over potter. So it's in the different masechtos and seder zroim, trumes, umeisor sheni, umeisor es, it talks about what things have to be meisored and what stuff don't. So if it doesn't have to be meisored, then it doesn't create tevil. Ve'ez davar chayav min haTorah ve'ez midivrei sofrim. What stuff is midaraisa? What stuff is midarabanan? So the basic principle is that the only things that are tevel midaraisa are dagon, tirosh ve'yitzhar, grain, grapes, and olives. And olive.
Yitzhar is olives.
Yeah, it's shiny. It's a shoresh, tzadi hei reish, means shiny, so lustrous olive oil. Like, okay. Yitzhar, tirosh v'yitzhar. And the Rambam adds in tree fruits, which other Rishonim don't say are deraisa. But in any event, so everything else is derabanan. Vegetables, everybody agrees, is derabanan, and therefore would only be tevel midrabanan. If you eat vegetables that hadn't been meiser, there would be no misa v'idei shemayim, no malkos, there would just be makas mardos. The yeser mishpatei hatevel sham uve mekomos mimaseches dmai. There's also a masechta which is called maseches dmai. What's dmai? That's one of the things that are tevel midrabanan. I'll start with a story. Once upon a time, there was a Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol was named Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And he was very early on in the period of the Tanoim, right after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, who was the one who, remember, greeted Alexander the Great. So right after Shimon HaTzadik, there was a fellow named Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol was very worried about the religious state of the Jewish people. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol sent out emissaries, he sent mashgichim, all throughout Eretz Yisrael to check to see how scrupulously the people were observing the laws of Trumas Umaisers. And they came back to him with a whole report. They wrote up their findings, not literally, probably. And they said to Yochanan Kohen Gadol, we found, Baruch Hashem, that all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, maybe all 99%, whatever, are very careful to separate truma gedola from their produce, the first truma. Why? Because, A, it makes people really nervous, because this is the thing that they really think is truma, because that's the one that they take directly and give to the kohen. And number two, midaraisa, there's no shear. So you say, ah, not such a big deal. I'll take one wheat kernel and give it to the kohen, and then the rest of my food will be for sure kosher, and I won't have to worry about it. And that there's also these things that the rabbis tell me, Misa Bidei Shemayim, so I think that really applies to the Truma Gedola more than anything. Okay, so everyone was Nizar to take out Truma Gedola. But they said, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, it pains us to inform you that they do not separate the other Truma Sumaisers. There's a large minority. Not everyone. There's some people who are very religious. They know how to separate all the Truma Sumaisers properly. But there's a large minority that dispenses with the observance of Maiser Rishon, then obviously the Trumas Maiser, the produce is still Tavol, means Tevelified to Trumas Maiser, and they don't separate Maiser Sheni or Maiser Ani, so what are we going to do? So Yochanan Kohen Gadol said, this is indeed very problematic, I don't want the people who are really frum to be Nichshal if they go to these farmers who, they have a beard and pay us, and they look like religious Jews, and they keep Shabbos and Kashrus and everything. I mean, part of Kashrus. And they say, I would like to buy I would like to buy some wheat from you. And the farmer says, no problem, here is the wheat. So you assume, you buy from a religious Jew, that it's completely kosher, everything has been given already. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol said, I'm making a takana. Since obviously you cannot rely on the masses, the common folk necessarily, to separate Trumas and Maisus properly, so I am making a takana called Demai. That every time you buy, you eat produce that was not meisered by someone who's officially Neman, we're going to start a new class of people called Nemanim al HaMeisris. We're going to start a new group, a special group within Klal Yisrael, of people who publicly and verifiably agree to be extremely nizhar about the laws of Trumas HaMeisris. So if you're not in that group, if you buy produce from someone other than someone who's in that group, so you must miser it yourself.
Mm-hmm. So if you need 10 pounds of stuff, you've got to buy 11 pounds.
Exactly. You must miser it yourself, but you don't have to separate Truma Gedola. Because we saw that everyone separated Truma Gedola, that's no problem, but you do have to separate Miser Rishon, Trumas Miser, and Miser Sheni or Miser Ani, depending on the year. But we're going to give you some kulas, say Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Since Mide Oraisa, do you have to be concerned that with the produce you buy from these people is Tevel? No, Mide Oraisa you don't have to be concerned because you buy from a religious Jew, and we discover that most of them do Miser properly. It's just a large minority that doesn't Miser properly. So Mide Oraisa, the produce is kosher. But because of this concern, we're establishing the requirement to separate the demai, so I'm going to give you certain kulas about the demai. What are some kulas? One is, because we don't want them to be mafsid you so much, you separate the trumas meiser, and you separate the meiser and the trumas meiser yourself, but you have to give it to a levi. For demai, not for tevel. No. You have to separate the trumas, the maisa rishon, in order to remove the chance that there's a prohibition of tevel here, but you do not have to give it to a levi. Why? We have a principle in halacha, hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Tell Mr. Levi, here, I have a cup full of maisa rishon for you, Mr. Levi. You want your maisa rishon from this demai? You want it? Okay. Okay, so bring me a proof that this person I bought from, in fact, did not miser it. So bring me a proof. Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. I think, he's probably a Neman Jew. I'm just misering it lechumra. Bring me a proof that it actually wasn't misered before, and you can take your miser rishon.
So what do you do with it?
You can eat it yourself, because miser rishon, like we said, is only a requirement to give it to the levi, but it's not holy, and it doesn't have a kasher shayla. So you're allowed to eat it yourself.
You separate it and then eat it yourself anyway?
Yeah. It's the same as like if a Kohen's misering for himself. Harizo truma. But you're not.
So in other words, you can go ahead, and if you're a chassid, you can go ahead and you can buy something with just an Oyu Hashkacha, not a Hamish one, but if you eat it yourself, it's fine. Right?
What?
In other words, you're going ahead and you say, I'm not trying to rely upon the OU, but if I eat, but still have no proof that the OU is anything wrong with it, so I'm going to eat it myself.
No, no, because that's a monetary issue. This is not a kashrus issue. This is purely a monetary issue.
It's pure monetary, okay.
Because you, if it's not meistered, you're obliged to give it to the levy.
Yeah, okay. It's a question of the ownership of it.
Right. So that's one cool. And then you separate, Meister Sheni is no big deal because you get to eat it by yourself anywhere. You can just redeem it with coins. And Meister Ani, you also don't have to give to an Ani because you say the same thing to the poor person. Bring me a proof that it wasn't Meister before and then you can take your Meister Ani. So that's a major cool of Demai. So what's the procedure for separating Demai? As detailed in the Mishnayos and somewhat modified nowadays. Procedure is as follows. You have your food. You separate physically 1% of the food. Let's say you have 100 carrots. Mm-hmm. You take out one carrot, and you say, this carrot and 9 carrots on the 9 carrots on the northern side of the produce, for example, is Maiser Rishon. You declare that it's Maiser Rishon. Then you say, this part, this separated thing, which I just declared was going to be my Serishon, I am now making my, I Trumas Meiser, the tenth of the tenth, I'm declaring that it's Trumas Meiser. And then the Meiser Sheni, or the Meiser Ani, is on the southern section of the produce. And if it's Meiser Sheni, then I redeem the Meiser Sheni on the coins. So basically, when you're separating the Mai, you have to chuck 1% of the produce, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And the rest you're allowed to eat yourself.
What are you supposed to do with that 1%?
You either give it to a Kohen in the times of that Shaykh, or nowadays, you throw it out. Or you pour it down the drain. If it's wine, you burn it, whatever. You don't have to let it rot. You can wrap it up.
What is the thing where you have to let it rot?
That's Shavuos. That's during the Shemitah year. You don't have to let it rot. Okay, so that's how you...
wasting food cannot... Yeah, it's
bad.
So if it's a mitzvah, wasting food is bad, but technically it's not a violation of Baal Tashchis, so the prohibition of wasting, if it's for the mitzvah purpose. That if you're doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah...
But suppose there's somebody right next door to you that's really hungry, you can't give him this...
Oh! Excellent.
You can't give him
you're getting me to my next point.
Out of here.
Excellent. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol, when he was busy creating all the rules for Demai, he said, since Midaraisa, this is only what we call a Chumra Derabanan, that's why there's no bracha on it also. That is not even an official, you know, takona derabanan like Hanukkah candles. I mean, you have to do it, but it's sort of, it's more of the character of astringency than a real rule to a certain extent. So you don't make a bracha on it. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol said, I'm not imposing my stringency for if you want to feed it to guests or people or poor people. So if you want to feed the demai, even without misering, to guests or to poor people, presumably it means like out-of-town guests who won't have other food, not just because you feel... some people say not. Some people say any guest is okay, but whatever. So if you want to feed it to poor people, that's okay. But if the end of then, if they're very religious, so they're going to miser it themselves, maybe.
All right, but that's a tenth of a carrot.
Right.
They'll be throwing away a tenth of a carrot, which isn't quite as bad as throwing away the whole carrot.
What do you mean? But if the net result is sort of the same, that you're supposed to... Yeah. In all the produce in Kal Yisrael, if you don't have demai, and everybody's meisering properly, so... Not, first of all, like the Kohanim are really supposed to eat it, so there's none throwing out. But nowadays, if the Rabbanut, for example, would meiser all the produce, and everyone would trust the Rabbanut... Everyone would trust the Rabbanut, so then the total produce that's eliminated... thrown out in Klal Yisrael would be 1% of the whole produce. But now you have people meistering themselves, so it's going to be more. Tachlis. But the problem with the nowadays is that, let's say you buy produce from Eretz Yisrael. So if you buy produce from Eretz Yisrael... In America. Let's say even if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you don't know if the Hechsher is good. So that's not really demai. That's more stringent than demai because that's Sufik Tevel. There's a real possibility, you know, 50-50 chance, maybe more than 50-50 chance that the thing is tevel. So you still wouldn't make a bracha because there's never an institution of a bracha in such a case. But that's a real requirement that you have to miser it because simply because of
So demai basically is where you have a suffix whether it was done properly. Tevel is where you have a suffix done wrong.
Tevel vadai means you grew the produce, or it's the person told you, well, this has not been meiser yet. You know for sure that hasn't been meiser.
Okay, right.
If you're buying produce, but demai is meaning it's just a chumra. You're buying from a religious Jew who you just don't trust about trumas and meisers.
He's a religious Jew, so why don't you trust him?
Because of the takana of demai.
What's the default value be to trust?
It is. That's why. That's in this instance, Chazal removed the eid echad neman bisurin, the believability of this person regarding kashrus vis-a-vis trumas and meisers. If he shechts meat. If a person called an Amoritz, and that's not what we call nowadays an Amoritz, but in this literature of Chazal, an Amoritz means sort of the Hamonam, the general class of Jews who lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time, who were from, they believed in God and the Torah and everything, but they didn't weren't medaktic in the way we like them to be medaktic. So you buy produce from an Amoritz, so then you have to miser a demai because of this concern. But there's an intermediate thing also, which sometimes is called demai because you just, you know, use a terminology in a loose way, but really it's not Dmai, it's a suffix tevel, that it's doubtfully tevel, and in which case, you still wouldn't have to give the Maaser Rishon to a Levi, because the same principle of Motzi Mechavera La Haraya, but you would have to separate Truma Gedola. Because even though in Dmai you don't have to separate Truma Gedola, here you do have to separate Truma Gedola, which is why the procedure for separating Trumas from Maaseres nowadays that we normally do it, again, if you're a farmer and you know for sure it hasn't been Maaser'd, and you live in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to give the Maaser Rishon to a Levi. Some say nowadays you don't have to give the Maaser Rishon to a Levi, because Levium we have nowadays are not Vaday Vaday Levium. But nevertheless, those who are...
No offense.
But though that's not... Because they don't have a Yichos, you know, a documented Yichos. But normally you do give Maaser Rishon to a Levi. That's the proper practice. But in the case that you're meisering suffix tevel, the procedure is as follows. Basically the way I described it before. You take out, and this is the way you do in America also when you're meisering Israeli produce. You say, you take out a little more than 1%. Mm-hmm. Again, you're not giving mitzamsim. You can't, even when it's hard to be mitzamsim exactly. So you take out a little more than 1%, and you say as follows. Here's your food. And here's your a little more than 1% of the food. This represents a little more than 1%. You say as follows. The more than 1% that's in this thing that I separated out, on the northern side, that's just, it doesn't have to be the north, I'm just giving an example. On the northern side is Truma Gedola. That's Truma Gedola.
In the United States, what are you talking
about? Or in Israel, and you're separating from something that says a hechsher you don't trust, for example. Okay.
If you buy produce bought in Israel, you have to worry about this. You remember that whole thing about Shechter?
We'll talk a little later about exported produce, which is the whole discussion. I'm probably not this week. But anyway, so you say the more than 1% on the north side is Truma Gedola. It's pretty easy once you get it down. Mm-hmm. Then the 1%... plus another 9% on the northern side of the food is Maaser Rishon, because you're not allowed to name the Trumas Maaser before the Maaser. So you say the 9% plus the 1% in this separated part that was not Truma Gedola is Maaser Rishon. Then you say the 1% that I just made Maaser Rishon is now Trumas Maaser. And then you say Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani is on the south side of the produce. You don't physically have to separate it, but you call it, you know, the bottom 10% over here is Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. And if it's Maaser Sheni, you say, and the Maaser Sheni that's here is redeemed on the coin that I've set aside for the redemption of Maaser Sheni. So you have to set aside a coin for the redemption of Maaser Sheni, which... Works if the amount of Maaser Sheni that you're doing is more than a pruta. If it's less than a pruta, you might have to use a coin that was already used for to redeem Maaser Sheni before. Okay, we won't get involved in all the details, but basically that's the procedure for separating. That's the procedure for separating Trumas Maaseres from Safek Tevel, where you're not actually separating out the Maaser Ani and the Maaser Rishon. You just have to separate out the Truma parts physically. And you just have to declare that the proper amount of the produce is Maaser Rishon at the top and Maaser Sheni at the bottom.
Now,
yeah?
Just through the separation, you forget all these kavanas, then you're still okay?
That's the famous story with the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish was really involved in the, really applying the laws of Eretz Yisrael to the huge Yishuv. You know, there were always Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, but the laws were not widely studied, and you had this whole influx of people that had to learn a whole new set of laws regarding Eretz Yisrael. So he, you know, wrote a lot and studied a lot and tried to really learn up the halachos and apply them to the modern agricultural times and to refine them and to make it more understandable and to address all the cases that might come up nowadays. Okay, so the Chazon Ish said that b'di'eved. If you don't know the Nusach, you just take out more than 1%, and you say, all the Trumas u'Maaseres are Chal according to the Nusach that's written in such and such a Sefer, or the Art Scroll Siddur, or whatever. He said, b'di'eved, that is sufficient. Others don't like that. But Chatchila, you really should not rely on that. You're supposed to have in mind each thing.
How do you know how much the coin should be? How many coins?
Oh, because the coin, you're allowed to use one pruta to redeem as much as you want in Maaser Sheni.
Oh.
So you say, in other words, you're right. So your coin might get filled up. If you have a quarter, and let's say there are, I don't know, just five prutas in a quarter, probably more, but whatever. They bribe prutas in a quarter, then you're only allowed to use the quarter five times. Then you have to destroy the quarter, and then you have to redeem the quarter on a different quarter. There's a whole procedure about it.
But isn't there a principle that these laws don't apply unless the great majority of Jews live in Eretz?
No, they apply. The question is deraisa derabanan. They definitely apply. We'll discuss that. That'll be in that as we get later in the mitzvah. But that's the procedure for separating from Suffolk Tevil that should be followed in Eretz Yisrael if you buy from extra you don't trust, or in Chutz Laaretz if you find yourself with stuff from Eretz Yisrael that needs to be misered. So we have a problem also when it comes to Demai, that about the difference in approach. Oh, so the Chazanish, there's a famous story that, so the Chazanish had that Chiddush, first of all, but he was apparently, in certain situations, he was even more makel. There was apparently the wife of Talmud Chacham once came to him to ask a Shaila about Shumas Maisris. So she was normally a knowledgeable woman, but she had just arrived from Poland, where they didn't have Trumas and Meisr. It wasn't necessarily Poland. Somewhere in Europe where they didn't have Trumas and Meisr. Now there is Israel. She has to take out Meisr. So, it's of course, the conversation, we're just asking the Shaila. The Chazanish says, you know, Rebbetzin and so-and-so, how exactly do you remove the tithes from your produce? She says, well, I take out a little bit, I put it on the side, and I say, this is Meisr. And then I throw it out. The Chazanish is like, so people maybe were listening to this conversation were like, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You can't just do that. He said, maybe b'dieved it works, because she took it out and she had in mind that, you know, the miser should be, you know, whatever it works for this produce. So maybe it does work. So that's a big kula. In the Chathila, certainly, you should say personally the Nusach and understand what
why
it means.
Didn't she ask? I'm curious as to why she didn't ask her husband. Right. You said she was.
Maybe he didn't even know. He doesn't know. I mean, maybe, he probably would know more than that. But
what do we say? Something sort of related to like an umda, where you say, I don't know all the detail, but I'm going to so assume that whatever the laws are about this particular transaction or something like that, what they're doing, that they're going to.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. So we have a problem when it comes to Demai also, and you have a difference between the Brisker Rav and the Chazanish as to how they interpreted this, and Rav Yoshe. We have two different, very different shittas about how you interpret Demai. The problem is that Chazal instituted that you're not allowed to believe someone about Trumas HaMaisris unless they're part of the official group of people who are Neman Al HaMaisris. The problem is nowadays we no longer have such an institution of an official group or a Naman al Maisris. So how do you approach this problem? So the common approach, which Rav Yoshev was supposedly endorsed, is that when you have a Hechsher set up, you have the Rabbanut or the Badatz, whatever Hechsher you trust. If you have a Hechsher you trust that goes with your community, so it's as if the community as a whole appointed a board to separate the Trumas HaMaisris on their behalf, and therefore it doesn't have the status of Demai, because it's not like you're buying from one person that's whose reliability about Trumas HaMaisris is questionable. That's Shita number one. Shita number two is a Shita of the Chazanish, who says, in Achanami, you're not allowed to trust the Hechsher regarding separation of Trumas HaMaisris. At all.
That's weird.
But you are allowed to trust an individual that you personally know to be very medactic about Trumas HaMaisris. You're 100% allowed to eat in their house, because what Chazal had in mind basically is that people should only trust each other for Trumas HaMaisris if they know 100% that this person is 100% observant of Trumas HaMaisris. So if you know if that a reliable person, it says that Talmud Chacham also is assumed to be reliable about Maisris. But if you know 100% that your friend who invited you for Shabbos is Maisris everything he eats, and he's 100% reliable about Trumas Maisris, he doesn't rely on the Hechsher, he Maisris himself, you are allowed to eat in his house without Maisering yourself. No. Then there's a third Shita, the most stringent Shita, is that of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav said, you know, most strict constructionist about what Chazal about Chazal's rules, said no. Chazal said, if you did not buy or obtain this produce from someone who's an official Naaman al HaMaisris, it's demai. So the conclusion is, the Brisker Rav says, Everything nowadays is demai, and you are literally not allowed to eat anything unless you miser it yourself. Even if you go to Briskerov says, you come to my house, me being the Briskerov, you come to my house, even though ostensibly I'm probably more religious than you. If you come to my house, you're not allowed to trust me that I miser the trumas and miseris.
Come on, I have the day we're busy.
Yeah.
so you nice sit down, the wife goes, you know, the husband and the wife also.
So when you have a household, you have a different institution, which is shlichos. No. You don't have the whole household. The household, because they make each other shlichim. If you're allowed to appoint a messenger to separate trumas and miseris for you, and then you're allowed to believe them.
Well, why can't you appoint the
Yeah, the Briskerov said, Nachinami, if you come to my house to eat for a Shabbos meal, you have to... I don't think he would require you to do it.
Why is that you're allowed to, more stringent than kashrut?
Because for this reason, Chazal removed the Eid Echad Neman Bisurin regarding the Afreshes Trumas Maisers. But anyway, on Shabbos, you're allowed to say before, you know, anything that I'm... You're allowed to declare Erev Shabbos that you're going to separate the Trumas Maisers, and then you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Maybe we'll mention that a little more next time. But in any event, the... Kashrus organizations, there is another problem with the Kashrus organizations, which is that regarding their technical
expertise,
you know, believability regarding Trumas and Maaseres, is that since they're separating on such a mass scale, so it's hard to keep track of. This is what I like to call metaphysical Kashrus, not physical Kashrus. If you have a pork chop and you do a molecular analysis on the pork chop, a genetic analysis, you're going to see that it's from a pig. Here, the produce, but right, before you separate the trumas and maaseris, and after
the separation,
it looks exactly the same. So you really have to keep track of it in order to make sure that it's done properly. Yeah. So for that reason, for the practical reason, again, the kashrus organization might be the best in the world, and they really are on top of it as much as possible, but nevertheless, there are going to be things that slip through the cracks.
I would trust them, you know, an industrial, or, you know, commercial scale, where they have to keep track of everything because it's, you know, the money's changing hands, as opposed to, say, my kitchen, where I don't know what the heck is what, you know? I mean, it's a...
Well, most people think the opposite. They have more control in their own confined space.
Well, they
so I once... I knew someone, actually, who had a compromise, Shita, about this. That he misered everything himself that he bought from a fruit and vegetable store. Because there are things, the deliveries coming in, things coming out, there's an open space, people go, too hard to keep track of. But commercial packaged products, like Beasley, for example, they figure nobody's running around the factory, it's much more organized, much more smoother.
Yeah,
so he did not miser himself Beasley and things that were, you know, from a factory type of setting. But nevertheless, a lot of people, even regardless of the technical nemonis over here, do have the practice that you separate Trumas and Maisers yourself, or if you go like the Chazon Ish, somebody you trust separates it themselves in order to avoid...
Why can't you trust the Brisker Rav? I mean,
no, because he holds that he's not Neman Ala Maisers.
Right, he tells you not to.
He's not a member of the...
You can argue that it says that Tam Chacham doesn't need to be an official Neman Ala Maisers. The Brisker Rav Derech Hanava will tell you, and I'm not a Tam Chacham. But we who think the Brisker Rav was a Tam Chacham, we would certainly be allowed to trust him. We wouldn't assume that if you go to Rabbi Yosher's house, you go to these people's house. He's also dead. Let's think of live people. If you go to Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky's house to eat a Shabbos meal,
then you sit there and start moving peas around on the plate.
It's very hard, especially in, for example, restaurants. Again, if you're really, really from and you're a brisker, so you're probably not going to eat in restaurants anyway. But if you want to be machmir on separating your own trumas and maaseris, then every time you get a shawarma, you have to start opening up the lafa. You take out a piece of cabbage and a piece of tomato and a piece of cucumber. It has to be each type of produce separately. And a little bit of the sauce in case there's some spices in there. It's hard. It's really, really hard. Which is why the normative practice... In even people living in Eretz Yisrael, is that you rely, whatever hechsher you trust for kashrus, you trust for the separation of trumas and maaseris. Again, is based on this reason that since it's a communal board, so then it's good. They also trust people that they trust about, you know, personal people that they trust about trumas and maaseris. We're not choishish for the Brisker Rav that everything is really demai. But almost, all the poskim say that it is a legitimate chumrah. It's a reasonable, legitimate chumrah not to rely on kashrus agencies for afroshes, trumas, maisers, and as much as possible to do it yourself. But again, most people think that that's a chumrah and not meikar adin.